Isaiah chapter 61, and I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, and give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And this morning we want to consider the topic that we are sent to proclaim liberty. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray you would help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. We realize that there is much you call upon us to do, and we're thankful that we do not do it in our own strength, but in the power of your Spirit that you give unto us. And we just pray you'd help us to understand this thought in your word that you give to us today, that we may fulfill your will in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we continue today to consider the implications of Jesus' statement that he made in John 20:21, soon after he was raised from the dead, where he told his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." And as we read these verses in Isaiah 61, in light of that verse in John 20, it becomes clear that while this passage is primarily and prophetically speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry on this earth, application can also readily be made to our lives as well. That as he was sent by the Father to do these things, so Jesus now sends us to do these same things. And so we've been looking at these verses a phrase at a time and recognizing what Jesus, our Savior, is sending us to accomplish in this world today. And so already we've recognized that we are sent with the Spirit's anointing to preach the good tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as well, we're sent by our Savior to bind up those that are brokenhearted. And furthermore, as we considered last week, Jesus is sending us to the captives. That we thought about that, of how that in this great war against God, the devil, by his snares and deception, has taken many people captive. And by the devastating power of sin in their lives, so many have been taken far away from peace and comfort. They've been torn away from everything they've held dear. They live under the devil's oppression. They've lost their freedom. And having lived so long in that state, they struggle to even remember what it was like to be free. And they struggle to find hope that they ever could be liberated from the captivity that they experience. And it's to these that we want to recognize today that Jesus is sending us with a message to proclaim that they can find true liberty in Jesus Christ. And as we learned last week, like King Cyrus the Great of Persia, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, by his crucifixion and resurrection, has conquered sin, death, and the devil. And he has granted liberty to all mankind. He has made what we could call an emancipation proclamation. We need no longer live under the power of sin, the oppression of the devil. We can experience real freedom in life. And for each of us that have come to Christ in faith, as we experience his liberation personally, we are now tasked to spread the good news, to let everybody else know that they're free, that they don't have to be slaves anymore, that they, by faith, can be made free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we realize that, we recognize what a blessing and a privilege it is for us to share such a message. It should excite us, and as well we would think that the news that we spread is so wonderful that those around us would all be glad to receive us. This, you think in the past of, I was reading a bit about when Abraham Lincoln made the Emancipation Proclamation during the Civil War, that there were different slaves that would want to pass that message along and tell people that they could be free. And it was just, okay, if we can escape from our masters and we can get to the Union lines, that we're free men, and we can, and no one can take that away from us ever again. And so it's that same idea. It's like, this is something wonderful, and why wouldn't people want to hear that?
Yeah.
But of course, when we go in this world today and we try to share this and explain this, we realize that for many people it confuses them. It may upset them. It may even offend them. And we would wonder, well, why is that? People want to be free, but it's trying to, do they understand what that freedom actually means? And I think we want to understand, as we're sent to proclaim liberty, is that there's so many that have been captives for so long that they don't really understand what true liberty actually is.
Right.
And we also want to understand that part of the reason for that is that our deceiver and the oppressor, the devil, has been very busy proclaiming a false liberty into this world. And to just kind of consider that, if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is a chapter where Peter gives a warning about false teachers. And you actually see the further on and you get in the time in which the New Testament was written, the more it gets towards the end of the time of John the Revelation, you see more and more warnings of false teaching. But there are these ones that would be passing themselves off as being these great teachers and purveyors of the truth. And they may be entirely convinced that they're preaching the truth themselves. But the fact is that they are spreading destructive falsehoods, where they're misrepresenting and even outright denying the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so we see, sadly, the statement that Peter makes in verse 2. It says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And we understand that there can be this counterfeit Christianity. And
right.
And the point of it is kind of twofold for the devil. Is he wants, one, if people are pursuing after what's counterfeit, they're never going to come to the actual truth.
Right.
But then secondly, if he can use the counterfeit to discredit the truth, people will reject Christianity altogether.
Yeah.
And not realize that they've never actually seen true Christianity for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in this passage that he has a lot to say about them, specifically in terms of how to identify them. So I encourage you to read the passage for yourself, just for your own kind of benefit and safety in many ways, so you know how to watch out for them. But for today, I want to draw your attention to verses 18 to 20. Verses 18 to 20, it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." Verse 19, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." And so these individuals, they're great orators. Everyone's impressed by their ability to string words together and articulate things. And in their talks, they make this promise of liberty. But we ought to understand that this liberty that they proclaim is a false liberty. And they themselves remain servants. And that word, we understand, has a connotation of being a bond slave. So their servants are bond slaves of corruption. And it's the idea that even those who have begun to experience the true liberty found in Christ are by their false teaching pulled back into bondage once again.
Yeah.
And we want to recognize that for many people, when they think of these ideas of freedom and liberty and even liberation, many, including many professing Christians, think that that means that they have a liberty to sin. That, and we think of over the past several decades, we've seen so much of our society casting off social mores and standards of right and wrong. If there's a law people don't like, then the standard practice now is to get enough people to break the law until the government decides, okay, we're putting too many people in prison, we'll just cancel that law and people can just do it.
Yeah.
And even though the consequences of that behavior still remain the same, it's still unethical and immoral, but it's not illegal anymore.
Yeah.
And it's the thing is that just as in the days of the judges, we find that everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes.
Right.
They want to be able to partake in or of whatever they have a desire for. And to them, the only people that are really deserving your condemnation is anyone who would maybe say, wait a minute, are you sure that's a good idea what you should be doing? And we see this liberty that it is a freedom from responsibility, a freedom from consequence, a freedom from any and all authority, where one says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and no one has a right to deny me doing so. And we want to realize, even though such a mindset is becoming more and more prevalent in our society with each passing day, we have to realize that such individuals are under the spell of a grand delusion.
Yeah.
Because with each step that they're taking that they think is toward liberation, what in fact is happening is they're just forging another link in the chains that bind them.
Yeah.
The more they indulge in sin, the more it overcomes and controls them and brings them into bondage and slowly begins to destroy them physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We see in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 2, or 22 rather, this statement. It says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And that's how sin works, where it brings us into bondage. It becomes very addictive, that as we do it, we start to crave it and desire to indulge in it. And it gets to a point where it instead of us being able to control it, it starts to control us. And so Satan, through many false teachers, offers man this promise of freedom. But we want to understand it's a lie and a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because many think they're experiencing great freedom when the truth is they've been taken captive by addictive habits, which prove to be destructive to themselves and others. They convince that they've gained when the truth is that they've lost.
Yeah.
They have fun for a time, but it gets to a point where it's not fun anymore. But they can't back out of it. It's consuming them in so many different ways. And for many, it's not until their lives have been absolutely destroyed that they realize they even had, that this was a lie. I thought this was great. I thought I was having fun, that I was free, but I'm a slave. And I can find no way of delivering myself from this bondage that I put myself into. And sadly, of course, there's many that pass from this life before they can ever make that realization, that they persist in this destructive habit and haven't thinking they have freedom, but instead that brings them into bondage that eventually claims their lives. And so in sharp contrast to that, we want to consider the liberty that Jesus has secured for us, the liberty he wants all men to experience, and the liberty that he sends us into this world to proclaim. And so if you turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And in this passage we see that he was teaching and preaching. And verse 30 it says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. And then verse 31 he says, and said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so he makes this statement to them, and immediately we find it's very hard for them to understand what he's talking about. Because it says, verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? That they're thinking, okay, well, we're not slaves, we're not under bondage, even though, of course, at that time, they were under Roman rule, that they still had some freedom in that way, that they knew of those who were definitely slaves, and they say, well, that's not us. But we see Jesus explains it in the next few verses. He says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so he was trying to help them to see that, that if we commit sin, we are the servants of sin. We become slaves to sin.
Yep.
We may think we can control it, but soon we find it controls us.
Right.
And we think of it, it is the lies of the devil that have enslaved us.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants us to call evil good and good evil. He wants us to think that wrong is right and right is wrong. And he knows that sin is brings us into bondage. And that's really, you think of it, God's heart for us. That's why he identifies sin as sin. He's not trying to hurt our feelings. It's because he knows this will enslave you if you give into this. I'm saying stay away from it because I want you to be free. But what do? Is we reject God's wisdom and love. We say, I'm going to do it because I want to do it. And we fall prey to the devil's deception. And we're brought into bondage. And that's the sad thing, is that sin isn't called sin anymore in our society, and so many people enter into bondage without even realizing it and have no real hope of ever getting out of it because they don't even know how enslaving that it is.
Yeah.
And so it is the lies of the devil that bring us into bondage, but it is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us free.
Amen.
And of course we want to understand that the truth is more than just facts and knowledge, even though that is certainly true, that a lot of times when we see things as they really are, that is very freeing to us. We want to understand where it says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That he is the truth. That he actually, it's interesting when you go into this passage of how it's worded, that it's speaking in that way. That I know when I went through high school, I learned a bit of German, and there is two different words for to know. One was to know facts. One was to know a person. And I remember looking at this passage in the German, and it's interesting because the know there, it isn't knowing facts. It is knowing a person.
Yeah.
That that's how it's made, and that's the thing, is that having the knowledge of Jesus, having a relationship with him, because it's kind of the thing. It isn't just where you know statistics about Jesus, that yes, he was the Son of God, yes, he was crucified, he rose again the third day. That it's actually knowing him as a person,
right.
Becoming part of God's family, having him as our brother. And learn to walk with him each day, that as we learn to do that, we can walk in liberty. And that's the thing, that the liberty that Christ offers, it is not a freedom to sin. Instead, it's a freedom from sin. And that's what he desires for us. He knows that sin brings us into bondage, and he wants to break those chains and set us free. We think of the statements given in Galatians 5 and verse 13 and 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, where it says that we're to never use our liberty that we have in Christ as an occasion to the flesh.
Right.
That's not what it's for. It's not so, oh, I'm free to do wrong. It's like, no, that's not, we're not understanding that. It's freedom so we don't have to keep doing that. And it's not that we're to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness to others, that we think, oh, I'm free so I can mistreat other people and just do me first and push others down so I can get ahead. That's totally against the whole Christian life of how we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That instead, it's as we, through the Spirit of Christ within us, we crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then as we're freed from our own selfishness, we're enabled by God to show love, kindness, and compassion to one another. And that's what God wants. And we see two things, really, that liberty is based upon. First off, we see in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, where it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we understand that for us as believers, when we first trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us permanently.
Yeah.
And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Mm-hmm. And so because the Spirit is within us, we can be free.
Amen.
And so it's the idea, and we talked about that a bit in Sunday school, is we have that expectation of liberty. But then it says we learn to walk in after the Spirit and follow the Lord's leadings, that's when it becomes reality to us, that we can experience His deliverance from the power of sin in our daily lives. That it's not us trying and failing to do better. Instead, it's seeking Him and having Him transform us from the inside out. That it's learning that even though sin may have had great power in our lives, even though there's these different habits that have just been strongholds in our life, that through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can have victory. We can be freed from those things. They don't have to have that power over us that they have had for so long. That we can experience true, lasting freedom from sins. From its power, from its authority, and just from the destructive power that it has in our lives. But then as well, secondly, along with the Spirit of God, we also understand that God's liberty comes from the Word of God. And we read that to start this morning, Psalm 119 and verse 45, where it says, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." And that's the thing, is that when we rejected God's Word, we turned from its truth, that is what led us into bondage and captivity of sin. And so as we by faith seek God and His Word, we understand that this is the truth that's going to set me free. I walk in that truth by faith. I follow its guiding principles. That's going to lead us out of bondage and into freedom. And so it's through the Spirit of God and the Word of God that God gives us that great liberty, where we're not captive to sin anymore, that we're not under the oppression of the devil, that we can, as he sends temptations to us, where before we always gave in and regretted just the terrible things that we would do and how we would hurt ourselves and others, where we can say, "No, you don't have power over me anymore. I'm free, and I'm going to walk and I'm going to follow the Lord instead." And it's that idea that God describes His Word as a perfect law of liberty. And if we look into it and continue therein, not being just a hearer, but a doer of the Word, that's when we're blessed. That's when we find His freedom. And it speaks in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, of the glorious liberty of the children of God. That we think that this world is under the curse of sin, but one day the whole world is going to be set free from it. And what a day that's going to be. But it isn't something that personally that we have to think, well, it'll only be that day that we can truly experience that. That we want to understand that right now we can have liberty. That we can walk in freedom from sin. And so we see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 where it says, "Stand fast therefore in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And that's the idea of it, is that God gives us a liberty that we can live in. And we don't ever want to go back to that life of being in chains. And that's the false teaching that's out there. It's the whole idea of it, is that as we start to grow in the Lord, that the devil so often sends false teachers to try to pull us back, to get us defeated and discouraged, and really to give up on Christianity altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But it's instead as we follow the truth, we follow the Lord Jesus as led of the Spirit, that's when we can find true freedom. And it's, we think of it all, it's a liberty from selfishness, it's a liberty from hate, a liberty from bitterness, from anger, from greed, from lust, from fear, from worry, from guilt, and from shame. That we realize that so many of us, that we're captive to those things, so many around us, are overwhelmed by those things in their lives. We live in a world that's taken captive by the devil, that's ensnared by the deceptions of the devil and made slaves to sin and selfishness and self-indulgence. And so we want to recognize that as believers, we don't want to fall prey to that and be drawn back into bondage. We want to continue in God's Word. We want to walk after the Spirit. And as we deepen our relationship with Christ, we know the truth. The truth makes us free. And we walk in His liberty. But then as we experience that for ourselves, this glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that we know we can't just keep that for ourselves. That this is something we have to share with everyone around us that we can. That and we don't look at people in condemnation of just, boy, well, how could you give into that? Because we realize we were in the same place before. That we were going down that same path and we came to know the truth and it set us free. So we want them to know the truth too so they can be set free. That it's just one captive telling another, one slave telling another, that you don't have to be a captive and a slave anymore. That Christ has something better for you to live for. And we realize that for many it's hard to understand. They don't know what it means to be free. But that's why they need someone to share that truth to them.
Amen.
That even though it might be hard to understand the first time around, that we share it with them again. That so many times it's like, well, this is, sounds too good to be true. And we say, no, it is true that you can be free. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would fulfill what God wants us to do here, that we see people that are struggling under sin, that we don't look down upon them. Instead, we realize these are people that need help. These are captives that can be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that message from the Lord Jesus, and we just want to share Jesus with them. If they come to know the truth themselves, He can make them free. And so may the Lord help us in that, that we would proclaim His liberty so that many around us that may have been captives for sin all their lives could find freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the liberty You give us. And Lord, we just pray You'd help us to understand it and to appreciate it and to walk in it. And just help us to share it with others, Lord. Help them to see the freedom that we have in You, and that it may cause them to desire to know what is the source of that freedom and joy that we have. Pray, Lord, in this world that is held captive by sin, that You could use us just in a small way to bring many people out of that bondage into experiencing the liberty they can have in You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude. And that is hymn number 231.